Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 5th of March. Focus on Energy, Wisconsin's Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Initiative, is sponsoring the 5th annual Wisconsin Renewable Energy Summit. It's going to be here in Milwaukee, March 12th through March 14th. And the summit is titled Green Jobs, Growing Wisconsin's Economy. It will focus on the role that renewable energy like wind power, solar energy, geothermal, green buildings, and bioenergy technologies will play in expanding Wisconsin's economy. The program director for Focus on Energy's Renewable Energy Program, who's one of our guests this hour, Don Wichert, says that attendees will learn how the growth of renewable energy businesses can create new green-collar jobs across the state. According to a report to be released at the conference, renewable energy has the potential to produce 35,000 green jobs in Wisconsin over the next 10 years. We have two guests with us this hour to talk about the summit and about green jobs in the state of Wisconsin. Don Wichert is with us. Don is the director of the Renewable Energy Program, Focus on Energy. He directs the administration of Wisconsin's Renewable Energy Public Benefits Program, which encourages customer applications of renewable energy by providing education and information and training, business development grants, project financing. He has had more than 25 years of experience in the environmental and energy fields, most of it with the Wisconsin Division of Energy as chief of the Energy Resources Section. He serves on the boards of Solar Rating and Certification Corporation, Biomass Energy Resource Center, and also Wisconsin Citizens Utility Board. He is also a licensed professional engineer in Wisconsin. And we thank you very much, Don, for being with us.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Our pleasure. And I don't know if we have our other guest. Let's see if other guest. Jeffrey, no, we don't. We've lost our other guest. So we'll get him back online here in just a moment. Our other guest, let me introduce him now as we get him back online, is Jeff Anthony, who joined the American Wind Association in March of 2007 as manager of utility programs and policy. He's responsible for supporting utilities in their efforts to integrate and adopt wind power as a mainstream generation technology. He worked at We Energies for 19 years and most recently as the manager of renewable energy strategy, responsible for growing and accelerating the utility's efforts in the renewable energy area, and also launched a number of new wind, solar, and biomass initiatives. And we are getting him on the line, I think. No, we don't have him. And so we'll start with Don and try to link up with Jeff as soon as we can. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Let's start with, I'm wondering where you got this figure, but it is an impressive number. 35,000 green jobs could happen in Wisconsin, done over the next 10 years?
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to find out more about where this number comes from when they describe the study that will be released on Wednesday of next week by the Wisconsin Center for Strategies. Basically, from what we've seen so far, though, most of the jobs will be in manufacturing, producing wind turbine equipment. There'll also be jobs in solar applications and biomass. What we're seeing right now is that we're at the very start of a huge growth surge in renewable energy. And one thing that we're going to be able to do with the summit is we're bringing together, as a summit suggests, 150 of the best and the brightest people in Wisconsin to discuss how we can really motivate the economy in this market to accelerate the manufacturing and business opportunities that are occurring. They're occurring all over the world, really, and we want a part of the action here in Wisconsin. And I think we're positioned pretty well because of the good manufacturing base that we already have, and we have some progressive policies like focus on energy, like other things that the governor has proposed that I think will accelerate the demand for these products in the future. So, you know, really, we're probably on... that we're at a 1% level moving towards 100% in the next 20 or 30 years. We really expect double-digit growth in the renewable energy sector for the foreseeable future. So it's really a very exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that you mentioned wind turbines, biomass, and solar? Are there other areas, too, or do those hold the most promise for Wisconsin, and if so, why?
Well, I mean, those are the three general renewable energy opportunities out there. So solar would be solar electric, photovoltaics, and boy, the amount of technological advances that are occurring in solar electric just boggles the mind. We're going to have one of the experts in the state and possibly the country talking about all the different developments that have occurred or in process of occurring right now. And just focusing on solar electric, there are some that say in the next 20 years, the solar electric market will be larger than the auto industry.
Really?
Just imagine that. Yeah, I mean, we're talking something gigantic here in the future. You know, what's driving this? There's sort of three things that are driving this whole renewable energy business development. I think it's the technological advances that are occurring all throughout the different areas of biomass, solar, and wind. Also, the fact that there's, you know, we're in this fossil fuel depletion thing, and prices are reflecting that on the news that occurred before the program. I noticed oil went up $3 more. It's $102. That
Goodness.
Might be a record price. You know, oil has almost doubled in the past year. It's tripled in the past 4 years. And natural gas isn't that far behind. You know, we're almost up to the post-Katrina stage now in terms of prices for natural gas. You know, and the third major driver is the impacts of global warming, both environmental impacts and now the policies that are going to occur that will further encourage renewable energy development.
So do you think that we have the will on the part? It seems like we have to have a strong will on the part of a lot of people, the citizens of the country, the elected leaders, both on a state level and on a national level. It's my understanding that we're seeing a lot of this will on the part of cities and communities, but not a national will.
Well, I think that's going to change. I mean, if you look at the three contenders, I guess, for the president right now, all three of them have very aggressive renewable energy plans for the future. Mm. All three of them believe that global warming needs to be addressed. So as soon as the new administration comes in next year, I think we're going to see huge proactive policies in the future. So I think things are going to change on the national level. I think, as you said, communities have bought in. I think the people in our own state, the Doyle administration, have bought in. We're also going to, during the summit, we're going to have the Secretary of the DNR talk about the governor's global warming task force recommendations that's going to occur. We're also going to have the Secretary of the Department of Commerce talk about the governor's renewable energy initiative that was in the last budget. So I think in terms of state government, I think we're pretty much 100% behind renewable energy development.
Are you upset at all, Don, that we haven't done this a long time ago?
Well, yes, I am. But, you know, these things take time. If you look at the development of major technological advances, the automobile, airplanes, things like that, you know, they took a while. And a lot of times you'll go through a very slow development where there's advances, there might be setbacks. You know, for solar electric, for instance, a few years ago, all of a sudden demand shot way up, and the supply of silicon to be able to support this new product was in demand. Prices went way up, and it hurt the market. And now, you know, there's a correction that's occurred. So I think these things, they take a little bit of time. A lot of things need to happen in concert with each other, like high prices, the things that I mentioned, the two drivers right now are all occurring at the same time. So I think putting those together, I think the time is right.
Mm-hmm. We have located Jeff. We'll put him on the line in just a moment. But let me ask you first, though, explain a little bit more to me what biomass is.
Well, biomass can be biorefineries. So this would be taking, well, corn to ethanol is the most obvious example of biomass, where we're converting basically the sun's rays that are picked up by plants, stored in the plant matter, and then converted back into some type of fuel. So that can be for liquid fuels with ethanol, biodiesel, and we can also take crops like grasses and wood and use them for space heating and for electrical production.
Mm-hmm. And have we moved very far in that direction using grasses and wood?
Well, I think there's in terms of ethanol development, we have grown quite a bit in our state and other places in the Midwest in terms of ethanol development. We went from no plants at all, I'd say, maybe 5 years ago, and we're probably up to maybe supplying 10% of Wisconsin's needs through ethanol. So we're probably close to 700 million gallons of production. So that's huge. Biodiesel is just starting. We've got a one plant online and others in development. In terms of using grasses going to the next stage of using grasses or wood to produce ethanol or liquid fuels from biomass, we're still a few years away. Mm-hmm. Recently, it was announced, I think about 3 weeks ago, that a major paper company in Wisconsin Rapids got a $30 million grant from the Department of Energy to build a pilot plant taking wood waste and converting that into ethanol. Also recently, the University of Wisconsin-Madison received a $125 million grant from the Department of Energy to develop a huge research effort also focused on converting cellulosic fibers, wood, grasses into ethanol. So there's a lot of things happening at the same time. And everybody I mentioned so far will be at the summit. So for anyone who's interested, just having a passing fancy, what is this stuff? Investors, students, others, this would be a great opportunity to really learn. You know, we have 13 keynote speakers, 60 exhibitors, 150 speakers, 43 sponsors, and these are sort of the major wheelers and dealers in energy in the state. And I think we have 45 breakout sessions as well. So we're going to be covering, a lot of different topics. And like I said, I really think we have the best and the brightest. They're going to be converging on Milwaukee at the Midwest Airlines Center for 3 days next week.
Jeff Anthony is joining us now as well. He joined the American Wind Energy Association just about a year ago, and as manager of utility programs and policy, he is responsible for supporting utilities in their efforts to integrate and adopt wind power as a mainstream generation technology. Hi, Jeff. Thanks. We finally got our phones figured out here, I think. Hello, Jeff. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Yeah. Tell me, how successful have you been in getting utilities to integrate and adopt wind power as a mainstream generation technology?
Well, as I like to say, utilities are literally and figuratively all over the map. I work with utilities across the U.S., and a lot of them are moving aggressively forward. Others are taking kind of a wait-and-see attitude. Most of the utilities in Wisconsin tend to be at the front edge, kind of the leading edge of this. But there are utilities in different parts of the country that are kind of not really believing that wind power is for real and taking their time adopting it. A number of utilities are moving aggressively forward on it and recognizing the myriad of benefits that wind power provides, not just from an environmental standpoint. Pretty much everyone acknowledges that wind power is a real generating technology and with no emissions is a very environmentally friendly way of generating electricity. A lot of utilities, though, are starting to recognize a number of benefits and kind of side aspects of wind power that they've never really thought about, including the ability to control prices, because once you build a wind turbine, the fuel's free.
Mm-hmm. Are there certain states in which wind power works better than others, and where does Wisconsin rank?
Absolutely. Wind power works well in about 40 states in the U.S., pretty much any state west of the Mississippi. In pretty much every state, you've got a pretty good wind resource. East of the Mississippi, it's a little bit more of a mixed bag. Wisconsin actually ranks 18th in wind power potential of all the 50 states. So we're pretty well positioned. You just need to move across the Mississippi River, however, you get to Minnesota and Iowa, and the wind resource is noticeably better over there. So west of the Mississippi, you could pretty much find a number of areas. On the east side of the Mississippi River, pretty much most states have some resource, less so in the southeastern part of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Same question concerning solar electric, Don.
We have, well, it's interesting. We have a pretty decent resource here. Germany leads the world in terms of solar electric applications. That relatively small country has seven times the number of solar electric applications than the U.S., and the Wisconsin resource, solar resource, is better than Germany's. So we can certainly gather the sun quite a bit here. Now, we can't do it all the time, and so we need to plan for that in terms of coming up with different storage techniques. The most obvious one is to use the existing electrical grid as storage, so you sort of have your system interconnected all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, one other thing on wind power I might want to mention, since our event next week is based on jobs, we have three major projects under construction right now, wind farms in Wisconsin, and there's the last list I saw had about 20 other potential projects in the queue.
Hmm.
So when we talk about jobs, you know, there's jobs on the ground actually putting these together, and then there's also the manufacturing jobs that occur. And we'll have a couple people from at the conference next week talking about how their companies are involved in providing the products and services to get these wind farms developed.
So we've already created how many jobs, would you say?
It's a good question. I don't have an exact figure for that. It's something we need to look at. Other states have done that, and we will eventually come up with a number where we are right now to put this in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally, I think we're looking at a large growth as well. I don't have that specific number with me as well either.
We're going to welcome phone calls. We have several people who'd like to speak with both of you, and we'll go to them in just a moment. We're talking about the Renewable Energy Summit, which is focusing this year on green jobs for Wisconsin, the potential of renewable energy to produce 35,000 green jobs in the state of Wisconsin. The summit is going to be held March 12 through March 14 at the Midwest Airlines Center, located just a couple blocks from where we are here in Milwaukee. This year's summit, Green Jobs Growing Wisconsin's Economy. And it will be looking at wind power and solar energy, geothermal, green buildings, bioenergy technologies, and the role they will play in expanding Wisconsin's economy. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Don Wichert is Program Director of Focus on Energy's Renewable Energy Program. Jeff Anthony is Manager of Utility Programs and Policy for the American Wind Energy Association. To your calls in a moment. You can also send an email if you'd like, and that address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go to phone calls now for Don and Jeff, and we start our calls with Jerry from Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested, I guess, in the question of the quality of the jobs created. I work for the Laborers International Union of North America, and I work Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and sometimes Michigan. And so we're seeing a lot of these wind farms cropping up, especially in North Dakota, South Dakota area. Our struggle has been trying to work with the local owners of the projects and the contractors that they hire, and trying to ensure that the majority of the jobs that are created on the construction phase are good jobs. Obviously, we prefer that they're union, but if they're not, that the workers are paid a good wage. And then in addition to that, too, we would like to see the whole supply chain of these projects, from manufacturers of the turbines all the way to the eventual workers on the projects, also be given the opportunity, if they're not organized, to be organized. So that's kind of my comment, and I'm just wondering what your guests were seeing in that area, if they're seeing any movement. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
This is Jeff. We are seeing a lot of movement in that area and a lot of dialogue going on in the industry. The caller referred to a lot of the jobs that will be involved in the actual construction of wind projects, and a number of those are a number of those projects and the developers and construction firms are union-based, others are not. But it's a rapidly growing field, and there's probably opportunities in many states for many companies that are just now getting into that field, the actual construction. I know Michaels Wind Energy and others in Wisconsin are examples of companies that are rapidly growing their portfolio in terms of how much workforce and energy they devote to putting up wind turbines. So it's a growing field. We feel it has room for both union and non-union, depending on, you know, which companies are involved and where in the country. But the possibilities are quite large. The figures that show up in one of the reports about 35,000 new jobs in the wind turbine and solar manufacturing area, a lot of those are very solid, good-paying jobs on the manufacturing side, not so much that figure doesn't represent, you know, the installers, but a lot of those jobs are in manufacturing. So kind of revitalizing some of the heavy industry in Wisconsin and kind of renewing some of the manufacturing base, a lot of those potential jobs are solid, good-paying jobs that would hopefully revitalize some of the industry in various parts of the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Louise from Eagle, hi.
Hi. I just have a quick question for Jeff. My husband and I own about 47 acres in Eagle, and we wanted to get, you know, a smaller wind turbine for our property to generate our own electricity. And someone from the state came out and looked and said everything was fine and kind of picked a spot for us. And then we received a letter that we weren't going to be able to do that because of potential interfering with the National Guard. Does Jeff have any comments on that?
The National Guard? How so? Did they go further with the explanation?
They didn't, and I'm assuming it's radar or planes or whatever, but...
That's a bit unusual because the first part of your question I was fully prepared to answer because a lot of people do ask the question about putting up a small wind turbine on their property and, you know, I have so many acres, it always seems windy there, you know, what can I do? And it sounds like you took the best possible first step, which is contacting Don's organization. Don Wickert works at Focus on Energy, and they have this very, very valuable and somewhat unique in the United States service called a site assessment service, where they will send out a certified assessor to come to your property and take measurements and figure out what is your best bet on installing a wind turbine and or solar hot water or solar PV, solar electric, and give you a written report that then really gives you a basis. So it sounds like you took that first step, and I'd encourage anyone else listening who's interested in that to contact focusonenergy.com, Focus on Energy out of Madison, that Don's organization, to avail themselves of that service. Now, as for the second part, that sounds very unusual because typically a small wind turbine is not going to have any impact on military radar or anything like that. Some of the larger developments, large wind project developments, have had to contend with the FAA and even the Department of Homeland Security on particular locations in the U.S. where wind turbines could potentially interfere with military radar or even FAA kind of airport-based radar. In most cases, those issues just take a little longer to work through and may involve some resiting, relocating of turbines, but usually it's not a major issue, although last year it did bring a number of projects to a standstill because of some recent changes in the federal government process on this. But in terms of a small wind turbine that you're talking about, that sounds very unusual. And do you know who the letter was from?
I don't. My husband's the one that read it to me, and I didn't actually see it, but it sounds like maybe we should continue to pursue this.
I think so, because that sounds a little odd for most small wind turbines are not that high up, not that obtrusive in terms of potentially creating false images on radar. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it may be a bit of an overreaction, but it's worth pursuing.
Mm-hmm. Let me jump in here.
Sure, Dan.
There are restrictions if you're fairly close to an airport. And so maybe that's what it was referring to. My suggestion would be that you contact the site assessor who came out to your site and get back to them and try to figure out what to do next.
Mm-hmm. And if you could please, Don, explain a little more fully how focus on energy helps individuals like Louise and her family and also businesses to move into renewable energy. What do you do?
Right. Well, the first thing we do is we try to provide general information. You know, how does a wind turbine work? What does a solar electric system do? Roughly how much does it cost? We have a number of fact sheets that we would send out to people. The next step, as Jeff was alluding to, is we have a site assessment program where individuals or businesses can contact us. We will send a trained third-party assessor out to a particular site to give them an idea of how well their particular site is suitable for wind or solar. And that person will spend a couple hours looking at the facility or the house, talk to the owners, and then follow up with a report about 2 weeks later. After that, we will offer other technical assistance if there's any type of problems, like the caller just had. We can try to resolve those. And then we also offer financial assistance, typically in the range of 25% to 35% that the Focus on Energy program will pay. Hmm. We'll also let people know about other federal incentives, and there's really good federal incentives right now. And there's also pretty decent utility incentives. And so you start pancaking all these different incentives onto the package, and all of a sudden your project looks very affordable.
Right. Yes. Thank you very much, mm-hmm. Louise, for your call. Let's go next to Jake from Oshkosh. Hi, Jake.
Hello. I am wondering how many of these jobs, you keep hearing the 35,000 number, wondering if all of those will be for Wisconsin residents or if they will be for traveling employees from different states.
Well, we don't know for sure exactly because we haven't seen the full study, but we will hear about it next week. You know, I'm looking at a list of the type of jobs that occur in renewable energy, and there's a whole range of things. It's not only people who install, but it's also people who work at the facilities. It's accountants, it's cost estimators, it's electricians, environmental science folks, iron and steel workers, welders, power line workers. So it's a whole array of different types of jobs. And my understanding is the study that was done looks specifically for Wisconsin within our borders. And I think they also did a national study. So the Joel Rogers, who is from the Center for Wisconsin Strategies, will be talking about Wisconsin and how we fit in the entire national scene as well.
And just to clarify, this is Jeff. The study next week has not been released yet. So when we're quoting the 35,000 jobs figure, that's from a previous study that was released in late 2007 by the Blue Green Action Alliance, the Sierra Club, United Steelworkers, and an organization in Milwaukee called Good Jobs and Livable Neighborhoods. And what they did was they used a methodology that had been pioneered by a group called the Renewable Energy Policy Project. And what they did was they looked at the type of jobs that are used to manufacture and install wind and solar and other forms of renewable energy technologies. And then they compared those jobs to the industries that were already based in the states that employed those type of people. So the way they came up with the figure was to figure out how much could these industries potentially grow, what kind of people are involved in creating the components, the subcomponents, the installation, and then the service and maintenance of these facilities, and then where are employers located today in the United States that employ those type of people, and then extrapolated a number from that based on which industries existed in what states today. So it really is based on what manufacturing and installation companies exist in Wisconsin today, and with the projected growth in wind and solar and other renewable energy technologies, what's the potential for jobs growth based on those type of jobs that already exist at companies that themselves already exist as well.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. Let's go next to Matthew. Matthew calling from Middleton. Hi.
Hey, good morning. I have kind of like a two-pronged question. The first part is dealing with geothermal energy, and it seems like there's two aspects of geothermal energy, and it doesn't seem like either of them is really pushed very hard in the news. One is for home heating and business heating and how that can substantially reduce the amount of energy consumed by, a particular home or business. And the second part is research into geothermal electricity production. And I think that that's where there's going to be a large benefit payoff if that can be accomplished, because it's an always-on electrical generation service similar to, you know, hydroelectric or nuclear. But I think that there's a vast amount of untapped geothermal energy in the United States, but we don't hear a lot of people talking about that. Is there any focus on that? Or
Don?
Well, yes, there is. Certainly for home heating and those applications, we will have a session on geothermal at the event next week. I'll have to say that there is some controversy whether geothermal is a applicable technology for Wisconsin, because there's a little bit of a trade-off here. What you do use is electricity to drive a compressor and pumps, and so you use more electricity, and then you offset that with natural gas. So I've seen different studies that show sort of positive or negative results depending on the particular circumstances. I think for those places that cool a lot, and geothermal provides both cooling and heating, it does make sense. So large commercial buildings are the best applications for geothermal. In terms of creating electricity from geothermal, that really depends on the type of geology that you have. And my understanding of the Wisconsin geology, we don't really have the type of steam applications that we can get close to the surface. And so there is a lot of work being done in the United States, out in the western part of the United States, to try to adapt and develop geo-electricity, but not so much here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Unless you had more, Matthew.
I guess I'm just kind of looking at, you know, ways of having an always-on electrical generation potential. Solar and wind are great, but what happens when the sun's not blowing, or the sun's not shining and the wind's not blowing? We need to get electricity from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And are there other alternatives other than hydro that we might not be looking at?
That's a great question. Our organization spends a lot of time looking at it, the American Wind Energy Association, with respect to wind power. The best way to back up wind and solar is basically to use the rest of the electric grid. So if you're a small wind owner, small wind turbine owner, a residential or business customer and putting up a small wind turbine, yeah, you generate electricity and benefit when the wind's blowing, and when the wind's not blowing, you basically rely on the utility, which you're interconnected to provide power at those times. For the largest wind farms, the same question exists. My job is to work with utilities all around the country on how they accommodate the variable nature of wind power and what do they do when the wind's not blowing. What we're finding is that there's a number of solutions, and a lot of people say, well, don't you need energy storage? Don't you need some big batteries or compressed air, something like that? And the answer is no. In time, energy storage technologies may benefit the grid at large, but right now they're awfully expensive, and the key is they're not needed. What we're doing is working with utilities around the country and finding that, yeah, when the wind blows, you're generating electricity. Essentially, it's free because the fuel's free after you've paid the upfront cost of installing the wind turbines. And at times when the wind's not blowing, either one of two things are happening. One, you've got another wind project 150 miles to the north, and the wind is blowing there, so you can count on that, kind of the spatial or geographic diversity aspect of wind power. Or you're using other resources on your system. Same thing happens if a coal plant trips offline. It's not like the city necessarily goes black. Now, that did happen in Florida recently, and that's going to get a close look. But the grid is designed to accommodate variable load as people wake up in the morning and turn on their lights and factories start up. Operators deal with that kind of variability all the time. So wind power on their system is just one more variable. It does take some additional learning, some operational changes. But what we're finding across the country is we can probably interconnect up to 20% of our electricity from wind power with almost no changes in the resource mix. It's going to take some changes in procedures, but the bottom line is operators are learning how to adapt and incorporate larger amounts of wind power, and the same thing applies on a very small scale for someone putting one turbine on their property interconnected to their local utility.
Thank you so much for your call, Matthew. We'll take more calls in a moment. Our focus this hour is on the Wisconsin Renewable Energy Summit, Green Jobs Growing Wisconsin's Economy, and it's going to be taking place here in Milwaukee, actually, at the Midwest Airlines Center. It's March 12 through March 14. If you want to go to a website and get more information about all of the speakers, there are many of them, and who's invited, and there are people from all walks of life invited, but some of you who are in this field might have extra special attention in the whole conference. It's Renewable Energy Summit. That's all together, renewableenergysummit.org. Don Wichert, Program Director of Focus on Energy's Renewable Energy Program, and Jeff Anthony, Manager of Utility Programs and Policy for the American Wind Energy Association, are our guests. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to phone calls now, and Dimitri from Waupaca is next. Hi, Dimitri.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Great, thank you. I have a question in regards to my wife and I are concerned about global warming and peak oil. We have a modest amount of money put away in an individual retirement account. We'd like to invest those funds in renewable energy and kind of be part of the solution. So what would be a good way, in your guest's opinion, for us to invest that?
This is Don. You know, I'm not a stockbroker, and I don't want to give any advice in terms of that, but I think this conference will be an excellent place to try to get some information about what type of companies are out there. The growth in solar, electric, wind, and biomass ethanol companies has been amazing. Some of the U.S. economy may not be doing so well. That is not the case with renewable energy. There's all sorts of incredible growth occurring, especially in solar electric, I would say, is the very, very hot field with billions of dollars going into those companies right now. I just heard this morning that in China, they're going to make an entire city focused on developing just solar electric. The whole city will be just targeted just to do that.
Wow. To be done before the Olympics, or that would be asking too much?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, as I mentioned, I might have mentioned earlier, there's this company, Nano Solar, out in California that is, they think they'll be able to develop a new type of solar electric technology that will cut the price of panels by a factor of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they've just become commercial. Google and other large sort of cutting-edge companies have invested in them. Right now, they're sending all their product to Germany because that's where the real big demand is. But there's a whole array of companies out there, and I think there's some mutual funds also that deal with alternative energy that the caller might be interested in finding out about.
Is that helpful, Dimitri?
Well, I was hoping for more specifics, and like, would you recommend, for instance, the equipment manufacturers or more like third-party vendors, or would you recommend large-scale power plants or utilities?
Yeah.
Jeff, do you want to tackle this one?
Well, it's really kind of, you know, without giving financial advice on the phone, which neither Don nor I are qualified,
mm-hmm.
It's really going to take some research on your part. There are, as Don mentioned, a number of mutual funds that are cropping up focused on just sustainable and green industries. So I'd urge you to kind of start there, maybe do a search on the internet and find out some of those options. And then it's really up to you. There's a number of companies that are kind of pure play in terms of they focus entirely on wind power, they focus entirely on solar. In the wind industry, the large-scale wind industry, a lot of the biggest players are not pure play. In other words, General Electric is the largest manufacturer of wind turbines in the U.S., but GE is involved in a lot of other businesses. So, you know, investing in GE, you're investing in a lot of different technologies, and there's a lot of other companies in the world, Siemens and others, that are heavily involved in wind power but heavily involved in other things too. So it's really up to each individual to decide what's right. But, you know, I'd start with kind of the green, sustainable mutual funds that are really cropping up in growing numbers as maybe a way to start.
Mm-hmm. Dimitri, thanks for your call. Let's go to Randy next. Hi, Randy.
Yeah, hi. So, you know, when we built our new home, I was determined not to build a monument to sort of greed and abuse, and we put in a system that what I believe is kind of unique. It heat banks heat below the basement floor in a 16-inch bank of sand, and it directly heats this off-peak hours. Our utility does that. We buy the heat between about 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. Very inexpensively when their grid is flush with power. And we have done this now for 4 years. incredibly inexpensive, and the floor is so warm to the touch. It takes it about 4 days to cool down. If the power is ever out, we sort of laugh at that. I've took many pictures of the installation. Our electrician that installed it was fascinated with it because he just cannot believe other people do not do this. I keep calling and asking people to come and look at it. Now, what I understand, the reason people do not do this is it bumps into about four trades and sort of aggravates their installation of footings and concrete and sub-foundation insulation and so on, and it interrupts the usual flow of things. It's just too bad that that kind of thing interrupts something that's right here and now that works, reduces the cost of heat probably by a factor of three, makes things very secure, uses flush energy that's out there right now. So anyway, I just wanted to offer that. I'm willing to let you come out here and look at that thing, too. We took a lot of pictures during the installation. It's really a great system.
It sounds terrific. Don, are you familiar with this?
Well, I have heard of different techniques to use off-peak rates, and I think the caller has made a good suggestion. We also see this with solar thermal systems where folks actually try to store some of the extra solar energy we have in the summer and the fall, put it into a sand bed underneath the house, much like the caller has done, and sort of coast through the winter from the stored energy in the summer. What he's talking about, though, is more trying to get a diurnal thing where the rates, as he mentioned, are much lower at night. And so I think that's a good opportunity. I'm not sure that it actually saves any energy because you are using the same amount. It's just that you're shifting when you use it to when it's more available and less expensive.
Right. Thank you so much for your call. We go next to Bill. Our lines have been very busy. We have some lines open right now, 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. And Bill from Black River Falls is our next caller. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
This last year and earlier this year, we've gotten off the grid with a 20-unit PV display. We have constructed a microhydro for our dam, and we'll be producing entirely off-grid by the middle of summer. We're also planning a Berge 10-kilowatt wind generator. We live near the airport in Black River Falls, and we can't go up more than 60 feet in the air, but we find that about a 45-foot tower and blades are going to be able to get us above the tree lines. There is a home show in La Crosse at the La Crosse Center at the end of March here. I'm not sure the date. Call the La Crosse Center for it. We are going to have a booth there with Pipkin Electric out of Cataract, who constructed our systems, and we would invite anybody to drop by and ask questions or whatever.
Jeff, you want to take this?
Sounds like a great event, and it sounds like you're way ahead of the game and trying to kind of move off-grid. We're going to cover a lot of those technologies that you mentioned, including small wind. That's part of our Thursday program. A lot of the kind of integrated approaches to this are going to be covered by a number of speakers. So the caller is you know, ahead of the game in many respects, and there's a lot of activity, a lot of shows, as he mentioned, starting to look at this. And I'd also mention the previous caller talking about geothermal and what's called radiant in-floor heating. That's a special session that we have on Friday of the event. So we're trying to cover all the technologies across the board, and people who want to learn about small wind, the solar electric, solar hot water, geothermal, radiant in-floor heating, we've got it covered next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to add, it's just a joy to go outside and watch the electric meter run backwards.
There are too many of us who can do that. Thanks for the call. Mike from La Crosse, hi.
Hello there.
Hi.
I live up here in La Crosse, and we have a lot of streams and small, you know, little creeks and stuff. And I was wondering if there's any progress on non-invasive a water wheel kind of generation.
Well, from a focus on energy perspective, we had to make a decision not to cover all technologies because we didn't have an infinite amount of money. So, unfortunately, we do not cover hydro applications at this point. There are, you know, I know that there are run of the river applications where you can drive a turbine, but I don't have specific recommendations for you on the type of equipment or how cost effective they are. I don't know if Jeff does.
I don't have that information. I know the National Hydropower Association, you could look them up. The National Hydropower Association is spending a lot of time focusing on, as Don mentioned, run a river, which means you're not damming a river and you're not creating a large impoundment or lake behind a dam, that you're just using smaller turbines that derive energy from the flow of the water without causing the environmental impacts from the construction of a dam and creation of a large water impoundment behind the dam. So there is technology. There's a lot of R&D going on. I know of it, and certain parts of the country are testing out some of the new inline run-of-the-river wind, water turbines, but probably not a lot of activity right now in Wisconsin, that area.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. We have an email, gentlemen, from Josh in Milwaukee. I can't make the conference and would like to know where I can get information on finding a green job, more specifically installing solar power systems. I imagine if you go to the website, that would be one good place, huh?
That's a very good place to start, because we just started a jobs board. We didn't have this originally on our website at the renewableenergysummit.org, but we're contacting all of our sponsors because we're hearing from a lot of people that are interested in jobs, and we're going to maintain that website past the event next week and try to get most of our exhibitors and sponsors that have job openings to post jobs on that. So kind
great.
Of a spinoff activity almost from the conference, maybe this kind of green jobs board. There's a few postings there now, and we hope to add more in the future. And then beyond that, I know the wind industry, our organization, AWEA, maintains a jobs board as well, and I think you'd find similar things on other organizations as well. But we're trying to figure out if we can use this Renewable Energy Summit beyond the event next week to really help people who are very interested in getting into the field to find opportunities to do just that.
Right, great.
One other thing. Focus on Energy has a Renewable Energy Yellow Pages on our website, the focusonenergy.com website, that list every company that we know of who is operational in Wisconsin. So the caller could look there and try to link up with some of those existing companies.
Yeah, great.
And before we run out of time, I'd just like to add one more thing. As part of the conference, with all of the sponsors, all of the sessions, the keynotes, I'd just like to emphasize the tours that we have on the morning of the first day on Wednesday, March 12th, a number of tours to facilities around the southeastern Wisconsin area that have solar PV, solar electric, wind installed.
Oh, wonderful.
And one tour in particular is a tour up to the Brownsville area, just south of Fond du Lac, where the largest wind project in the state of Wisconsin is under construction. It's the Forward Wind Energy Center. It'll be the largest wind project in Wisconsin. It's under construction right now, and a half-day bus tour will take people up there and actually get to see what one of these large wind projects look like. So I'd encourage people that if you can't attend the full summit, you might want to attend a tour in addition to the summit or just instead of.
Yeah, great.
One other thing I'd like to mention is tomorrow, I think, is the last day that we have the lower rates, and then on March 7th, we're going to bump up the rate $50. So for anyone who's interested in coming, for $200, I think there's not a better way that you can find out about renewable energy. And so register either today or tomorrow online.
We go probably time for one more call. Kristen from Stevens Point, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I teach sculpture at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and we're working on building a hot glass blowing studio, and we're researching how to make it as energy efficient and using alternative energy as much as possible. And I just heard earlier that Focus on Energy is partnering with individuals, and I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for a partnership for a project such as this, or if there are any other research sources or resources that you guys might recommend for us, learning more about what our possibilities are.
Sure. We offer feasibility studies for projects like yours, and we would co-fund your project up to $10,000 to determine what the options are.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So focusonenergy.com.
Okay. So focusonenergy.com, and just pop you guys an email, and
yeah,
we can find out more.
Right.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Now we have time for one more call. Jeff from Green Bay. Hi.
Hi there. Yes, I had a comment. Basically, it was interesting you had this topic today. I was just thinking about it. One of the issues that I've noticed with solar is the price and the availability. And, in fact, just this morning I emailed Menards to see if they would be interested in offering small solar intertie systems. that would make it considerably more easy availability-wise and possibly price-wise. Any comments regarding that?
Well, this is Don. Currently in California, Home Depot does offer a solar system, you know, and so they're starting out in places where the demand is heaviest. Hopefully we'll see those type of large big boxes offering these type of systems here in Wisconsin mm-hmm. in the next few years as our demand grows as well. Mm-hmm. Now, it's critical, though, that we have a professionally installed system because these are probably not for the do-it-yourselfers.
Oh, I'm sure they're a bit complicated. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. Great luck with the conference.
Thank you.
Thanks. Don Wichert, Program Director of Focus on Energy's Renewable Energy Program, and Jeff Anthony, Manager of Utility Programs and Policy for the American Wind Association. Once again, this conference is March 12 through March 14. It's at the Midwest Airlines Center in Milwaukee, and the year's summit is titled Green Jobs Growing Wisconsin Economy. And it's going to focus on the role of renewable energy. If you'd like to register or would want more information, here's their website. Once again, it is renewableenergysummit.org, and that's all together, renewableenergysummit.org. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and thanks to Rhonda as well for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee for your calls and interest. As always, thanks very much. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.